Eon, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Steel.
I'm Stacey Lynn in Washington. The Justice Department unsealed its 49-page indictment against former President Trump. He's facing 37 charges related to his storing of classified documents after he left the White House. Correspondent Scott McFarlane on Trump's first court appearance.
It's an initial appearance and an arraignment Tuesday in Miami. This could take just a matter of minutes. He'll enter a plea of guilty or not guilty to talk about some release conditions. And then this case heads to a judge who was appointed by Trump himself.
And Trump's top GOP challenger is reacting.
Governor DeSantis did not mention former President Trump by name, but he did attack the indictment of Trump in the classified documents case, signaling it smacks of politics.
And is there a different standard for a Democrat Secretary of State versus a former Republican president? I think there needs to be one standard of justice in this country.
Special Counsel Jack Smith said,
"We have one set of laws in this country, and they apply to everyone."
Linda Kenyon, CBS News.
Well, people in the Northeast can breathe a little bit better with the air quality gradually improving. Weather Channel meteorologist Kennedy Cass.
The good news is we get a little bit of a break from that thick smoke that's been causing bad air quality from the Northeast, the Mid-Atlantic, all the way down into the Carolinas. That smoke has been very thick and it's still out there. The fires are not going away anytime soon, but it has to do with the wind direction and the level of moisture in the atmosphere. We'll get some much needed rain rotating around that area of low pressure. That's going to be moving through the Northeast and some of that rain actually falling right over the fires.
There's a nationwide drug shortage. Axios health editor Tina Reed says some doctors are now scrambling to find alternatives for their patients.
Recently, the FDA announced that it was going to allow a Chinese manufacturer to import one of the chemotherapy drugs that's been in shortage into the U.S. That drug has not been approved for use in the U.S. In this case, they're going to allow an exception. They're looking at the possibility of doing that with some other drugs.
An incredible story. Four children were found alive in the Amazon jungle after a plane they were in crashed 40 days ago. CBS's Dana Jacobson with details.
Helicopter crews pulled the four indigenous siblings up from the rainforest on Friday. The oldest child is 13, the youngest just 11 months. Colombia's army and volunteers from indigenous tribes spent weeks searching the dense rainforest after their single-engine plane crashed on May 1st.
Three adults were killed in that crash. It is still unclear how the kids were able to survive on their own for so long. This is CBS News.
There are over 10,000 reasons why steel is not sold at Lowe's or the Home Depot. There are over 10,000 authorized local steel dealers. Find yours at steelusa.com. Lowe's and Home Depot are trademarks of their respective companies.
Ray Maliotta here for eBay Motors. Okay, easy now. You're teaching your kid how to parallel park. Ouch! Turns out he likes to do it by feel. Don't worry, eBay Motors has bumpers, trunk lids, license plate holders, and headlights. They've got lots of headlights. When you need parts, get it right the first time with eBay Guaranteed Fit. When you see the check, you know that part's gonna fit. eBay Motors, let's ride. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst. Every year, investors lose money because they trade on emotions and hearsay instead of data. But there's a solution. StockCharts.com, the leading online charting tool that experts and disciplined traders have used for over 20 years. You can do the same. Go to StockCharts.com for a free 30-day trial. Pick the stocks and indexes you want to track, review historical data, spot the trends, then make informed decisions and invest with confidence. Go to StockCharts.com and start your free trial today.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Cloudy skies expected this afternoon with scattered thunderstorms likely. Daytime highs approaching 81. Northerly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Scattered thunderstorms likely. Tonight, lows level off around 47. Overcast skies. High temperatures reach up to 68. Tomorrow, mainly clear skies. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 67.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Cripescast. I'm your host, Charlie Behrens, and we are brought to you by Jolly Good Soda. Here's today's episode. Folks, welcome to the Cripescast. Today, my guest is Damian Bookman. Now, Damian is an incredible guy. He's a two-time, one-in-a-billion survivor of childhood cancer. He was diagnosed with bone cancer that left him with an ambulatory disability at 13. However, he is now an adaptive athlete, an adoptive father, a successful social entrepreneur, and his big project is the Universal Park, which he's looking to get going in Milwaukee. And it's making it so anyone can enjoy this park. And, you know, there are a lot of things that sort of able-bodied folks really just don't think about because we don't have to. But when it comes to parks and recreation, that's something that a lot of people have trouble accessing and just enjoying. And that's something Damien is working to fix. So my conversation with him coming up in just a little bit. Before we get to that, I've got Colleen Maraca. Is this your phone, Colleen? Mm-hmm. There you go. I got Colleen Maraca, the EP of the Cripes Cast. Colleen, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing good. Did you have yourself a good week?
I did. Yeah. It's been a minute since we've been in the studio.
I know it has been a minute. Yeah. Nice to have you back here.
Oh, golly.
What's going on? Is your mic all...
Bill put in these new like...
Cali Wampus. That's all right.
Bill put in these new mic things and they're just like driving me nuts. So thanks a lot, Bill.
I think they're good. I think it's just you got to tighten them every now and
then. Yeah. I'm just going to sit up like this so I don't have to move it. But yeah, I was in LA and then you were in Denver. So how was that?
Yeah, Denver was cool. I was hanging out with Dude Dad. For those who have listened to the podcast, Taylor's been a guest, I think twice.
Yep.
And yeah, we had a good time. It was nice living with him. I stayed at his house. I stayed with his family, which was super fun. He's got four really, really hilarious, fun to hang out with kids. Mm-hmm. And I was Uncle Charlie for the week.
Nice.
Did a little, holding of the kids. I felt like I was growing up again. You know, that's
true.
That's the kind of controlled chaos he's got going on in his house. It's a lot of fun. It felt like I was back growing up with, you know, where you got a baby and a toddler and then, mm-hmm. you know, kids running around looking for the remote for the TV. And Taylor's, you know, such a and Heidi, they're both very creative people with how they run their business and their home. And it's just super fun to be there. So
did you change any diapers?
I didn't change. No. I bailed on that hard. I wasn't even going to offer that, but yeah. I have done it much to
your mom's disbelief.
Yeah. My mom, geez, I changed so many diapers and she's like, you never change one. Yes, I did.
Yeah.
But no, we went out on his boat. He's got like a wake boat and I learned how to wake surf kind of.
Okay.
I dropped the rope. You know, which have you done that? The wake surfing?
I couldn't if I tried. Like I've driven for my friend.
Yeah.
But I'm not good at wake surfing.
Well,
I'm more of a skier.
Everybody can do wake surfing if you just do it enough.
Yeah. You know? And I just don't have enough time.
So. Yeah. It's a time thing.
I'm not dedicated. I prefer skiing. I got to work on dropping a ski. I haven't done that yet. So.
Okay. Well,
I have other goals.
You have other goals.
I'm
other ambitions.
Professional tuber. But yeah, that looked like a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was a good time. Nice. Good time up there. And we've got some videos coming out soon with him. One of them is kind of when the neighbor gets a zero turn. So that's the title of one.
What's that?
Zero turn lawnmower.
Oh, nice.
It's like a rider riding cool, lawnmower, cool. A ZT.
Gotcha.
And then also we did historical influencers. So
yeah.
We
talked about that a long time. I remember when your dad was here, when he stayed here.
Yeah.
We like riffed on that for a long time. And I remember, yeah, it's going to be a fun, I can tell, I already know it's going to be a good video.
Yeah. We spent a lot of money on costumes. That's for sure.
Yeah.
But it was a good time.
Fun.
All right, folks. Well, that is it for the intro. Now it's time to get to my conversation with Damien Bookman. Before we turned on the camera, you were talking about, you know, not thinking you were funny enough.
Yeah.
I like what you said, though, is like you got jokes about
cancer. Yeah.
And then you didn't think like, what would you say? Able-bodied people.
Yeah. So like you have jokes about cancer, especially childhood cancer. People aren't sure that they should laugh about that when you're using those jokes. And then I've got a lot of jokes because I hang out with a lot of people with disabilities. And able-bodied people aren't too sure that they should laugh at that either.
You know what? Here, I'll say this as an able-bodied fella.
Sure.
And probably like where that comes from. We don't necessarily know the terminology all the time. You know, at one point I heard you're not supposed to say disability, but then you hear a lot of people say disability, you know, who have a disability.
Like, yeah.
Is it just different strokes for different folks?
You nailed it on the head. It's different strokes for different folks. Different strokes for different folks. It absolutely is. Yeah, because yeah. You've got so many people, right? Like I have a niece and nephew on the autism spectrum.
Yeah.
And my sister likes to use the person first language, we say, really heavily, right? Not I have an autistic niece and nephew. I have a niece and nephew who have autism.
Right.
So a lot of parents like to use that person first language. A lot of people with disabilities who have the actual disability, especially adults, most of them that I've run into don't really care.
Yeah.
It's so broad. Differently abled, disabled, abled.
The superpower.
Different strokes, you know, for different folks. Kind of yeah. Oh, well, hey, my whole thing started with Super Gimp, that tattoo I got. Actually was in a trademark battle and fight with DC Comics over that.
Oh yeah?
Yeah. Yeah.
DC
yeah.
Comics
and the US Patent and Trademark Office.
Really?
Yeah.
They were sitting there squatting on the Super Gimp.
I actually got a thing from their office that said, we see how you're using this, but we can't allow something like that.
DC so I came Comics. Back.
Well, not DC Comics. First, I was a US Patent and Trademark Office.
I got to listen to the stories. Yeah.
So yeah. I went back at them and I was like, well, who says a Special Olympian wants to be, you know, quote unquote special, which they right. don't, but we've allowed that mark to happen. So eventually, long story short, the USPTO pushes through the trademark and says, okay. And then DC Comics get a hold of it and Warner Brothers. They put the kibosh on that. No more Super Gimp.
That sucks.
It did suck. Yeah. An attorney actually said to me, he goes, well, what is this, Damien? Is this about a mark or is this about creating an impact? And I thought, okay, well, that's fair. I guess I got to let this go.
And he said, he's like, you're a therapist. What the hell?
Right. He was like, they're not going to sue you for it. So just keep using it, but they're never going to let you win that battle.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. That is kind of funny.
That's good.
I dare you to sue me.
Right.
I dare you.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Sue this disabled guy that survived childhood cancer. That'll right. be a good look for you.
Some good PR for you.
Solid.
You know, since we've started discussing the topic, what's your advice for people who, like, you know, they don't necessarily know the eggshells, or when they're talking with someone with a disability or the language that they use, is there like sort of like something that you can always start and you're usually okay saying this kind of terminology and then you can either back it off more or push it forward from there? You know,
I think the first thing is just to keep it real and see the person. It can be hard. It can be hard to see the person. Sometimes disabilities are pretty prevalent, come with a lot of different anomalies, and you're kind of looking around and thinking, I have some questions and I'm not sure if I should ask them.
Yeah.
First see the person and then don't be afraid to ask the questions.
Okay.
I think I loved watching my youngest son, Lennon, right? Mm-hmm. It's probably 5 at the time that we transformed Bradford Beach in Milwaukee to the most accessible beach in the country. Down comes a friend of mine, an acquaintance named John, who's a quad amputee. So no limbs. Right? Okay. But he's got like a little nub on his arm.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so here's my 5-year-old going, hey, what's that? Mm-hmm. And why don't you have legs? And what's going on with your arms? Mm-hmm. And where's your thumb? And he's just asking all these questions. And I just let it roll because he's in a conversation, right? With just another human being and he's interested.
Yeah.
Right. John was comfortable with it. Lennon was comfortable with it. And they were just having a chat as two human beings.
Right. Right. Yeah. Because I would imagine you don't want those things to define you, and yet you want people to be normal with you.
Yeah.
And part of that is just being honest. And if that's someone's first thought, to just ignore it, it's like there's an elephant in the room.
That's right.
But that's a challenge though, because every room you walk into, there's an elephant in it, you know? So that's got to get exhausting over time.
I think one of the issues where I step into is it's not prevalent with me. Unless I'm wearing shorts and you see my legs that are a hot mess, you don't know that I have any kind of limitation.
Right.
For all you know, I might just have a really cool walk.
Yeah.
You know, and it might be something I'm trying to show off saunter. Today. I got, that's right. I got that stride. I got that stroll. And you don't know. And so I don't want to speak for anybody out there who might struggle with some of those issues day to day. And, you know, people kind of looking at me and I don't know what to say, or I don't know how to react, or, you know, today is not a day I want to be stared at, you know, any of those kinds of things.
Yeah.
But for the most part, in all the conversations I've been in with people, continuously the comment is just ask me questions.
Right.
Just ask. I'm not afraid to answer them. I'm happy to answer them. There might be something different here. Let's just, you know, explode the elephant.
Yeah.
Let the cat out of the bag.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you have, incredible story, and it starts I mean, it goes way back to the first day I was born. But tell us your story. Give us your background here.
I've been, I guess what a parent would call a lemon pretty much from day one. Yeah. You might call me a lemon. I was at 6 months old, failure to thrive. At 2 years old, they told my mom they weren't sure I was going to make it through the night. And I had this ridiculously high fever and had me on a bed of ice. Didn't know what to do. I've kind of had one thing after another until really what started to kind of define me in my life was the experience when I got diagnosed with childhood cancer when I was just 3 days shy of my 13th birthday.
Okay. So you got cancer then, but all right away, it was a problematic situation.
It was one of those. Yeah. I mean, it was bone
failure
cancer.
Failure to thrive.
Yeah.
Hell?
At
Who
6 months.
Who came up with that terminology?
I don't know. I guess,
man.
I wasn't eating. I wasn't drinking. I wasn't growing. I wasn't doing the right things a baby should be doing.
Yeah. Yeah. Bummer. What was going on with you back then?
It's been going on since day one.
Or something?
It could be.
Yeah.
Could be. My mom told me my dad didn't want me either. So
wait, either.
I've been having problems since I was being, created.
Oh man. Wow.
But someone, Charlie, had a plan for me. Yeah. Somebody did.
Yeah, sure. Wait. Your mom said your dad didn't want you either, or your dad didn't want you, but your mom wanted
my
you.
Mom did want me. Yeah. So okay. My mom was the first and always constant fighter for me. Apparently I've had a few therapists, including you, in my life already.
Wow.
This is good.
I mean, this sounds like, we brought up DC Comics. This sounds like the beginning of a comic book,
It could be.
Yeah. I mean, it's a great origin story, first of all. Anyway. So we fast forward to 13 or just before 13.
Yep. 3 days shy of 13.
And what happens?
I was walking around. I was quite an athlete, I would say, on my road to, as my sister and my mom said one day, they're like, you're going to be the 3-sport athlete. You're going to be a B student. All the girls are going to love you. You're going to be one of those guys. And for about 2 months, I had pain in my right leg. Couldn't identify why, but was still jumping all over the place, running all over the place. Eventually saw some swelling in my right leg, went to the doctor and find out you have bone cancer. Went from being that idea of being able-bodied to instantly having what we call an ambulatory disability when you can stand and walk just immediately. I was on crutches and a knee immobilizer, and for the rest of my life would have some limitation.
Right away.
Yeah, right away.
What was that like when you remember that, being that old, getting that news?
It's one of those things where ignorance is bliss, where everybody talks about, right? Mm. You've got an orthopedic doctor who sees your x-rays, comes into the room after he sees your x-rays, guy's ghost white, and says, looks to my mom and says, well, this could be an infection or it could be a tumor, and that could be malignant or benign. My mom's crying a little bit, and I look at the doctor, 12. What the hell's a tumor?
Yeah.
Literally, I'll never forget it. That's exactly what I said to him. I had no idea how to react. And that ignorance was beautiful. So then you go and you get a biopsy. They confirm it is, and it's cancer. And they say, you've got this bone cancer called osteosarcoma. And here's a protocol of things you're going to have to do. Here's the medicine you're going to have the surgeries you're going to have here. Here's how long it's going to take. So then my attitude was just, cool. I guess I'm going to be sick for a year. I'm going to have a surgery and then I'm going to be fine, which can be far from the truth in a lot of cases, which I learned as a child. But then when I did go into remission after those 11 months, I was re-diagnosed 7 months later, a month into my freshman year of high school. This time I got in my left leg. So now I've had bone cancer in both my legs, and 28 knee replacements and revisions later, and 30 years later, here we are.
Dang.
Talking with Charlie Behrens.
That's a lot of knee replacements.
It's a lot of metal in and out. Yeah.
Are they getting better over the years, the knees?
No, they're
getting worse.
They're not, not better. No one's putting money into that technology.
Why?
Oh gosh, now you're chanking me down a really long road.
No. You know what? I was just doing a photo shoot with a guy who is in college currently, but he is he's studying neurobiology, and one of the things that he's doing is designing prosthetics and all that.
It's awesome.
So I don't, but anyway, go ahead and tell me why it's not really working out.
I mean, there's some hypotheses there, but there's not a lot of money in it. So only a certain number of people are going to even get a bone cancer where they would do what's called a limb salvage. It's actually technically called a total oncology knee. Mm-hmm. So not that many people are going to need that. Then not that many people are even going to survive, right? As many. are going to survive. And then not that many are going to survive 5 years. And most of my friends who actually lost their legs to infection post-surgery, not the cancer itself. So you can take all my surgeries combined and then throw in those six of my friends that are amputees from infection, and they haven't had as many surgeries as I have combined. Wow. So they don't, you know, where is that investment? How long is that knee going to last? How many people are going to need it? What's the value in us as a company investing in something that's functional and that works really well and that returns some kind of energy and all those questions? No one's invested in that.
It's kind of like ALS before the ice bucket challenge. There was no money going into ALS research because not a lot of people did it. And it's almost like you need your own ice bucket challenge.
Someone, I was willing to be the guinea pig, but apparently the FDA doesn't like to test people on humans.
Wait, what?
Yeah, no, I looked at my doctors and I said, look, clearly I can have surgery after surgery without infection. I can gain my flexion back. I can heal my wound. I can do all the things that need to happen. Let's just keep doing surgeries till we find something that works, something that works well. Couldn't get anybody to do that.
And why? Just because they didn't.
Again, FDA frowns on testing on humans.
I see what you're saying. Primary issue. Yeah. Freaking FDA always in the way. Yeah. Constantly. Man, you are a superhero.
I would be more of a superhero with better knees that worked well. But hey, I have my legs. Mm-hmm. I'm alive. I'm walking. All things that weren't expected to happen.
When did you get the idea to do this park?
Oh, that's a good question. So, you know, good Midwestern values as we come from, you survive something like this, you want to give back, you feel like you need to give back, you need to make good on the second and third and fourth life opportunity you've been given. So I started an organization called the Ability Center, which snowballed into this idea that everyone should have access to play and recreation whenever they want it.
And did that come from your childhood not having access to play and recreation?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, when I was immediately silent at 13 years old, I couldn't play with my friends anymore. I couldn't experience that, hey, you're going to be the three sport athlete anymore. I couldn't play with my family and my siblings the way I wanted to play anymore. I can remember being 15 years old in our upstairs living room, looking down on our driveway, and there's my siblings and my stepdad at the time and the neighborhood all playing together basketball in my driveway while I'm upstairs, just in tears, thinking that's where I should be. That's where I want to be, but I can't really play with them the way we all used to play. So it's, you know, it's creating that opportunity for people to play, you know, wherever they're found, whatever their ability is, even if it's in a temporary moment of blowing out a knee and having an ACL repair. They're not sidelined. They could still play if it's an accessible option to play on.
You're a kid. You're looking down there like, you know, God, that's got to be hard as hell, man.
Yeah.
And was it at that moment? Like, do you remember the moment you were like, boom, this is.
Yeah, it wasn't until I was 30.
30.
Yeah. It wasn't until I was 30 when it became very clear what the plan for me in this life was.
Yeah.
Wasn't until 30. So I spent those 17 years where, again, I could have played, I could have gotten active, and I could have found that adaptive way that most people do in what we call adaptive athletics or Paralympic style sports. But I think that would have been the mistake, you know, in this lifetime. If I did that, I like to pride myself on kind of being a problem solver. And when I kind of came in, I saw the problems, I saw the holes that were missing and a gap that could be filled. And it is in this space of play whenever I want to. That's the one thing people with disabilities are really missing, and families impacted by disabilities.
Got it. So in other words, because you experienced 15 plus years of sort of being left out.
Sidelined. Yeah.
That's sort of what gave you 15 years of ideas of how this could be fixed. Would that be fair to say?
We're getting there. I mean, the funny thing is you don't, I always had this feeling that I was meant for something,
yeah,
but I didn't know what. And, you know, I did a lot of volunteering at a camp for kids with cancer. That's where my wife and I met even. And I saw, you know, what the barriers were to opportunities post-diagnosis and the things that the kids wanted. And a lot of us all wanted the same thing. And a lot of us walked away with childhood cancer with some form of disability, be it intellectual, physical, developmental. There's a runs the gamut, really, blindness, amputation, the whole bit. And I thought, well, childhood cancer isn't our long-term issue, right? Disability often is. And so who's talking to us about living the highest quality of life in our new normal? And so I started finding, I love sports. I loved play. I had a bunch of friends who were amputees. So when we started Super Gimp, Super Gimp was actually about having a team of athletes that could play any adaptive sport ultimately. And we wanted to represent these athletes on a higher level than they were already represented. Yeah. So we went over down to Florida and took over an event in Florida called the Extremity Games for amputees. So I brought my three friends who were amputees plus another amputee, but three of them were all amputees from childhood cancer. And I thought, well, I'm doing this for them. This has nothing to do with me. I'm trying to help these people who need me out. And it turned out as things change and pivot in life and take turns, I realized, no, this is what you're supposed to be doing. Yeah. You need to do this. You need to improve opportunities. You need to bring access. And so over time, I ran into more people, different disabilities for different reasons, and just started realizing, you know, my friend Jordan at Bradford Beach shouldn't have to be dumped in the sand out of his wheelchair at the top of the beach. And then I'm a dad. You know, I've adopted three boys and my kids want to play with me and I want to play with my kids. And my kids should be able to play with me on the playground when they look back. Dad shouldn't have to be sitting on a bench. Dad should be able to enjoy it right there with them.
Yeah.
And that doesn't matter who we're talking about, kids or adults or otherwise. We all look back to the people we came with and we want them to be able to engage with us.
Sure.
And everyone should be able to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. When you first started thinking about this, were you always thinking Milwaukee would be kind of the place to?
Well, mostly, you know, born and raised in Milwaukee, Waukesha County area.
Yeah.
So Midwestern values sitting right here. This was the place to start. But for me, it was never going to be the only place. Always been a big thinker, big visionary, big dreamer, big plans. Everything's got to be big, big, big. And so if we do it here, how can we do it elsewhere? How can we duplicate that? How can we scale that? How can we bring these opportunities around the country? And so our big thing is to say, yep, we made the most accessible beach at Bradford Beach in Milwaukee. And we want someone to take that trophy from us and say, nope, now our beach is the most accessible.
Yeah.
Whether we help them do that or they do that themselves, that's great. That means we've made an impact.
Okay. So can you describe to us what makes, you know, your spot different than like a normal spot?
Well, I'm sure, you know, it's pretty typical these days. It's getting more typical, which is great, where we see, you know, an inclusive playground, right?
Yeah.
But where are all those playgrounds?
Suburbs.
Suburbs is a good point. Yeah. But also they all sit in parks. And no one says, but what about the 18 acre park?
Yeah. That's how in are we this playground. Get through that?
Right. And if we think about not just kids aren't the only people who use parks. So it's great that we're thinking about the child with a disability to have an opportunity to play. But what about a parent who has able-bodied children, but they might have a disability, who's a wheelchair user? If I bring my able-bodied child to the only accessible place inside this park, the playground, and they escape the playground, can I keep them safe? Probably not.
Okay.
How can I get to them if they escape into the woods? Now we've got a problem.
Yeah.
So now I'm not bringing my child there. The only thing that our parents' job is to make sure our kids see tomorrow. If we make sure they see tomorrow, we're winning. And if I can't keep them safe.
No.
I can't take them to a certain destination or a certain place. So that's why we looked at it and said, well, we're minimally meeting an opportunity for people with disabilities by making an inclusive playground. It's great. It's a really good start.
Right.
But every one of those playgrounds is in a park. Okay. So being a person who doesn't believe in impossibility, I was like, we're just going to build a $10 million park. Whole park's going to be inclusive.
Wow.
Top to bottom, all 18 acres.
Wow. With no woods for your kids
there
to escape
there are
into.
Woods. There are woods that they can go into, but there's going to be trails through those woods.
Right.
So that everybody can hug a tree.
That's nice. That's
who doesn't want to hug a tree?
Yeah.
The tree doesn't exist if you can't see it or get to it.
Right. No, hey, if a tree falls in the forest, same thing for if a tree is still growing in a forest and no one's there to hug it, does it really exist?
It doesn't. I don't know.
A bird might say otherwise, but
that's
you
true.
Know, we'll just... We'll declude, disinclude, not to disinclude
there's probably
birds
disabled
from
birds
this conversation.
Too.
For sure there are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
There was one that just flew into that window, I think, that fellas.
Now it might be
problems.
On the porch. That's okay. We'll nurse it back and bring it to the park.
Nice. I like that.
Yeah.
I like that.
Hi, this is J.R. Siewert of Coldwell Banker Siewert Realtors, and I'd like to invite you to tune in to Let's Talk Real Estate. Our next show is coming up, and we'll be talking about those things that are important to you, whether you're a buyer or a seller. So please tune in. We look forward to hearing from you and even taking your questions during the show.
That's Coldwell Banker Siewert Realtors, your trusted source for real estate solutions. Tuesday morning at 10:30, right here on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR.
Larry, it's your mom. Did you know the Civic Media Network covers the whole state of Wisconsin? They can help your business get the word out, whether you want to reach a smidge of folks or just want the whole kit and caboodle. Call 608-819-8255. Okay then, bye.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Cloudy skies expected this afternoon with scattered thunderstorms likely. Daytime highs approaching 81. Northerly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Scattered thunderstorms likely. Tonight, lows level off around 47. Overcast skies. High temperatures reach up to 68. Tomorrow, mainly clear skies. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 67.
This is Matt LePay, and you're listening to your home for your Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
So how did you go about funding and doing all that fun stuff?
Yeah, I just went out there and told the story. And as life would have it, it kicked off with, it's insane, right? Like, after meeting with a gentleman from Mel's Charities this morning, his first slide in his presentation says, you can't make this stuff up.
Mm.
Must be the way it is for people who start organizations because it's kind of the same. Turns out I have a board member. His name is Brad. Brad now has MS. But Brad was telling his sister about this new board he joined and the founder of this organization. And she goes, well, Brad, there can't be too many Damians who had bone cancer in both their legs in the Milwaukee area. I'm pretty sure that was our neighbor. Turns out we were neighbors.
No kidding.
Yeah. We grew up like across the street from each other in our little cul-de-sac in a suburb in Milwaukee here. And so Brad, as we had an event to talk about this park, when I first had the vision in 2019, invited some friends of his to come to our event that we called a walk in the park. And that certain individual was going to be taking over a family trust and managing that. And she kept watching the project and seeing how it was developed. And we were asked, said, hey, we've got this trust, and this gentleman, George French Moss, would have loved this project. And we would like to support what you're doing.
Hmm.
So we wrote a grant to them. You know, I had no idea where this came from. I had no idea this was connected to Brad until like 6 months after the grant happened. And I thought it was just, you know, a miracle that we got this opportunity. So I was like, well, let's shoot in the dark and just ask for the whole thing. French sounds like he was a really good guy. Sounds like he was active. They said he would have loved this. These are the things he did. We had some connections as I did my Google research.
Mm-hmm.
And so I asked him to take on the naming of the park and support it at a multi-million dollar gift. And they came back and said, okay. And they did that.
Wow.
And we kicked off just in the beginning of this year, right before Christmas, with a $2.5 million grant.
Oh my God. So what is all that cash going to get? Like, where are we looking at?
So we've raised a total of $4 million already. Mm-hmm. And I'm hoping that by the time we break ground, which is going to be the 33rd anniversary of the Americans with Disabilities Act on July 26th of this year, I'm hoping that we have the $10 million raised. But where we're at now stands us up to be able to develop the east side of the park, which will include the most grandiose inclusive playground you've ever seen. Will include baseball fields, but also something we call Universal Field, which has never been designed before and just happens to be locked up inside of my brain.
What is it? I want to hear that.
It's, you know, people are familiar with like Miracle Field sometimes, which is a baseball field for kids with pretty severe intellectual and developmental disabilities and really all disabilities. But the way it is planned, and it's a great opportunity, is not inclusive of wheelchair softball for juniors or for adults with physical disabilities.
Mm-hmm.
And so Universal Field, so Miracle Field is 126 feet to center. Junior wheelchair softball is about 160 to 180, and adult wheelchair softball is up to 220 feet to center. So we're creating a park or a field, if you will, this Universal Field that has a retractable or movable fence throughout each one of those distances.
Oh, nice.
But then that also creates enough space for wheelchair football and wheelchair lacrosse, and you could put basketball on this surface. And the surface is also going to be somewhere between what a Miracle Field is and what asphalt is, because that's usually where wheelchair softball is played, as well as wheelchair football.
Okay.
So we can put a whole lot more inside of this space instead of an opportunity for just one small part of our population.
Got it. Got it.
Then a grandiose, you know, regular typical baseball field will be there. You know, we at the Ability Center like and appreciate the opportunities where people are playing side by side or ideally together.
Mm-hmm.
Not a place to drop off Timmy, Tommy, Sarah, and Sue and come play later. This is, or come back and pick them up. This is you play.
Yeah.
Together.
And yeah, that helps build community as a bridge for folks.
Absolutely.
I love that. That's great. And is there, obviously we're in Wisconsin, so limitations with the weather and all that sort of stuff.
Well, we'll have opportunities to go through the winter, right?
Yeah.
So you have, there's various adaptive equipment that again, provides opportunity of people to get out in the winter, but that stuff's expensive. So if we can do an equipment sharing model inside of the park, then people can come out and play all year round.
Cool.
Yeah.
And is there an aspect that's indoor for people who just don't like the cold?
Yes, light. There, we will be improving the building that's inside of that park and making it larger so that we can have some sensory rooms, some specific bathrooms that help allow people to be there the whole time. Opportunities to plug in your communication devices or mobility devices so that you can stay all day, really, if you want to. And so assets that will be internal and indoors so that you can stay and play longer.
And how'd you go about choosing the location? I'm thinking specifically for like other folks who, you know, you want to replicate this model in different cities. So I'm thinking that might be one of their questions. Like,
it's a great question. Why? Well, I mean, why Wisconsin? Because I'm here. Why Milwaukee? Because I live down the street, right?
Yeah.
From in Wauwatosa, where it is, which is right now called Wisconsin Avenue Park.
Uh-huh.
And so we picked that location because of its proximity for equity for people with disabilities. So there's an elderly home right across the street. Makes a heck of a lot of sense. There's a rehab hospital a block away. There's an entire medical campus a mile away. We're a block from the Milwaukee County Zoo. We're on the heaviest traveled bus line in the entire Milwaukee County transit system. So it's about access and equity to get to that space for the primary demographic we want to serve. It just turned out to be just the most perfect scenario that you couldn't have asked for a better location in our market.
Yeah. Well, you just gave like four really good boxes to check for people who are thinking about maybe putting something like this in their own community.
Yeah.
That's great. What's been the biggest challenge in doing it? Maybe, you know, like some pitfalls that you want, you know, folks to avoid when they're looking at their community and how can they do this?
Well, you can always call us and we can help you make it happen.
Yeah.
Because that's what we do. But the flip side of that is the greatest challenge for me and our organization has always been people believing in possibility. We tend to not believe that anything is possible. We tend to think that big things are hard and people can't wrap their mind around, well, how am I going to do that? Right?
Yeah.
I would imagine you've come up with this against these kind of things in your life, right? As many creatives and artists and comedians and actors and actresses do, you always have the people in your life who are like, really, Charlie, are you really going to be able to do that? I'm not sure you're going to make it. Maybe you should fall back on something.
Yeah.
That's been a continual thing for me with my organization. Are you thinking a little too big, Damien? Are you dreaming too big? Should you maybe scale that back?
Mm-hmm.
And I'll look at people and say, well, why?
Yeah. True.
Every other able-bodied person has an entire park to play in. Why shouldn't people with disabilities have an entire park to play in? And by the way, someday you're going to be disabled and then that park will work for you.
Yeah. Isn't that really interesting though?
Yeah.
Someday you're going to be disabled. I don't think people think about that.
Not at all.
I don't think that, but hey, you're either, you know, it could happen randomly. You could just get old, you know?
We all have a grandma and grandpa that don't move like they did when we were 5 and 6 and 7.
Uh-huh. I mean,
so now we can still play with them.
Yeah.
If a park is inclusive, if a park is accessible, they can still play with us and we can still play with them.
And I think it's so great too, because when you get to like a certain age, it's just, like even walking on grass, if it's lumpy grass, is like hard for older people.
There goes an ankle.
You know? Yeah, exactly.
There goes an ankle. There goes a hip. We broke grandma's hip.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah.
We don't want that.
No, I think it's super cool. And I also like what you're saying about, you know, dreams and them not being too big, because I think people there is a lot of mentality of, man, I can't do that. Mm-hmm. And whatever it is that you're like trying to do, I just think you can spend as much time doing something you don't want to do as something you do want to do. You know, you can spend a lot of time getting really good at, you know, I was a pretzel roller for a certain time in my life and I got really good at that. But I didn't necessarily want to get good at that.
Right.
But I just kept doing it.
But you nailed it while you were doing it.
I nailed it. And
the best pretzel roller in the market.
Yeah, I don't want to brag, but yeah.
Midwest? What are we talking?
Let's go world.
Okay. World.
Yeah. Yeah, right. I can show you how to roll pretzels if you ever want to know.
Ever do the pizza pies? Because I've never. It's always impressed me watching people throw the dough.
I did. Well, we messed around with the dough. We made a lot of different things. Pizza was one. Wasn't necessarily the right dough.
Yeah.
You know, like you could, it just wasn't, I need more flour.
Yeah.
I think so. Cause it was always sticky. Yeah. I wasn't that good at that, but you know,
but the pretzel rolling,
man,
best
got it
world.
Down. Anyway, I think my point is, you know, for people who may be interested in this, that, or the other thing is just give what you want a go, you know, but
you got to believe in yourself, right? No one else is going to believe in you all the time.
Yeah.
And there's always going to be some level of doubt. Usually people aren't used to even learning, knowing, figuring out how to follow dreams, mostly because we're stomped down by someone who lost theirs.
Wow.
I mean, if you get deep with it with people, Damn. It's probably because they didn't have the courage to follow their own. And so they don't believe you can do it either. And yeah. you've got to push away the naysayers and keep going with what your gut feels. And eventually, at least it's been my experience, you'll find your way. I mean, it's different, right? Doctors literally told my mom to take me home and let me die. I proved that wrong since I was 14 years old, 15 years old. So
the doctors said, take you home. Are they still doctors?
Well, my official oncologist has retired. He is not. And he was an amazing physician, as my wife will say, you don't need your doctor to be your friend. You need your doctor to be really smart.
Right.
And he was really smart. But statistically, you know, I watched what they were talking about. I've watched friends battle my same cancer 4, 5, 7 times over, you know, 6, 7, 10 years before they lost the battle. It's what everyone expected to happen to me because that's all they had ever really seen or known. So.
Isn't it like, wasn't it like 1 in 1 billion or something like that?
I had someone do the math once. I started giving him the actual numbers. I'm not very intelligent.
Me either.
Yeah. School was
overrated.
Not my jam. Yeah. Way overrated.
Wasn't my peanut butter.
No. But, you know, statistically, mathematically, I think he came up with something crazy in a trillion when he broke down all the math. Yeah. Pretty.
So once you beat those odds, following your dreams, nothing.
Raising $10 million, $100 million, $200 million, whatever it has to be so that everybody has an opportunity to play together. I don't really care. No. I will find the way. I have not yet. When I say I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
It's going to happen. I don't care if that takes 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. If it comes out of my mouth, it's happening.
What is your biggest vision of what can happen here? Does it end with sort of these activity centers for everybody? Is it?
I think my wife wished it would. I think she wished I would like, whoa, time out, slow down. No, it doesn't. I think my ultimate goal when we open this park is to figure out how we build, make an announcement with partners that on the 35th anniversary of the Americans with Disabilities Act, the ADA, we'll announce 35 markets where we'll build a universal park.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm aiming for. I'm a little behind. I wanted to do it for my 30th anniversary of being a survivor, my cancerversary, if you will.
Mm.
That happens this June 6th. So now I'm just pushing it forward a little bit and saying, well, forget 30 markets. We'll just go 35 for the 35th anniversary of the Americans with Disabilities Act.
Very bold. Yeah. That's ambitious. I like it.
Hey, there's a lot of companies sitting down there, trillions of dollars, looking for something good to do.
Yeah.
Some way to impact their community, some way to impact society, something that may not be deemed as controversial. There's a mom in our area who has a daughter with a disability, and she said it right. She goes, it's like the hottest time to be disabled right now. She's like, you go own that, because being disabled, like, it's kind of the thing right now. And it's something that, again, isn't controversial, touches everybody, goes across every single barrier. And there's nothing that can be bad about opening a park that works for everyone.
Yeah. I do think that's kind of cool though, that, you know, she said that, and that sort of that, you know, is the vibe that a lot of people have of, you know, I think we are seeing people differently, you know, with like kind of, I was even touching on with like not necessarily knowing how to talk about things,
right?
But the fact that we're thinking about how to talk about them means, you know, it's different than just looking past people, which I think, you know, we've done for
this
a whole long
like
time.
Swell of this DEI movement across America, the diversity, equity, inclusion, has really given people with disabilities an opportunity to go, you know, raise their hand and say, yeah, but me too, us mm-hmm. too. And people have come from more from a heart space with that, and seeing people say, yeah, you're right. What about you? What is it that you need? What is it that you're missing? How can we see you? And they're asking in more genuine, meaningful ways.
Yeah.
And I think that's what really has opened the box more than anything.
Well, what has been sort of the hardest thing in doing this? You know, what's been the biggest trouble spot or the biggest issue that people may encounter if they're thinking of going down this road themselves?
I think, you know, what separates maybe myself and our organization from many is just that pure grit and tenacity, passion of never giving up and never quitting. When you know something is absolutely right, just staying with it until it happens. That's really hard. That's mm-hmm. difficult to stay the course. This time around with this project, it has come a lot faster than the rest of the organization. But I had a great friend at the camp that I talked about for kids with cancer earlier, who's built substantial companies and opportunities in Chicago. Great entrepreneur who said to me, hey, Damien, anything worthwhile takes 10 years. Hmm. All takes 10 years.
Wow.
And everything for our organization really started striking when we hit 10 years.
Isn't that interesting?
It's extremely interesting. He was right on the money, and it makes a lot of sense. And most people aren't going to stick with something that long. They don't have the patience. They don't have the staying power. They tend to start losing, you know, their belief. They keep hearing the more people out there that saying, maybe you should be looking for something else. Maybe you should be doing something else. This isn't the right thing. And they start listening to that and pull away.
Isn't that cool though, that you just said it, that you just repeated that? That 10-year, because maybe someone out there is listening, I don't care what they're doing. If they're doing right. comedy, if they're doing their exactly. own nonprofit, whatever. They've been doing it for 5 years, 6 years. Man, that's a time to quit.
No.
You know, that's a time people would
stay
think
the
that.
Course.
I mean, I went out to Los Angeles too when I was like doing and with a bunch of friends. I mean, I knew other friends out there doing it, you know, and some people give it a year. But yeah. if they're not a movie star, they get the hell out of there.
No.
Or, you know, in the news business, like if you're not an anchor after, like I was in that business, anchor after, you know.
Right.
Your first job, if you're not getting anchor opportunities, it's not
I'm
meant
out.
For you. Yeah. Yeah. Isn't that crazy that we do that?
It's absolutely that's asinine. Doesn't really make a lot of sense. Anything that's good in life really takes 10 years. Everything that's good is hard.
Yeah. Like every doctor had to go to school for,
umpteen years.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Way more than 10, like 30, like some of them.
Yeah.
They got to school.
I know when my surgeon was retiring, he was in his 60s and he's like, I feel like I finally figured it out.
Yeah.
I don't know why they're pushing me out now. Yeah. I'm really good now.
Right.
I know what I'm doing now.
Right.
He was done.
That is cool to hear and to sort of spread that. What other advice that we haven't touched on, if there is anything, like, do you have for folks who may be disabled themselves or, you know, looking to kind of go on and do their own thing and they find you as an inspiration?
Oh boy. Probably talk all day on this. The question becomes, what road do we go down? I think I'll go back to the statement earlier. And I think it's a hard thing for people with disabilities to wrap their heads around, right? Like, now is your moment. Now is your time. It is it's a great time to be disabled, if you will, if that's where you find yourself, because America is becoming more accepting, because DEI movements inside of corporations truly, you know, who likes to talk about COVID anymore, but we all went into virtual work. Mm-hmm. Ever since the internet was founded, people with disabilities have been trying to say, but I could work from home.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody said, well, that's not possible. You can't do that. Well, we certainly proved that that's more than possible. And now we live in a hybrid world. And so that opportunity to find that career that you didn't think you could have, that opportunity to found that organization to solve that problem that you don't think you can solve, now is your moment. Now is your time to go out and grab that thing. More than ever before. When I started my organization in 2008, really didn't kick off strongly until 2011. But, you know, pardon my French, but nobody gave a shit about people with disabilities back then.
Mm-hmm.
It was a grind.
Mm-hmm.
And now people are looking to us and saying, well, how did you do that? How can we be a part of it? Or how can we help? That was nowhere near the conversation back in 2008 to 11.
Yeah.
And now companies, Toyota, Nike, you know, on and on, are grabbing on to athletes and individuals, you know, with and impacted by disabilities and saying, how can this be our thing? How can we help? What can we do?
Mm.
And it's new. It's new, and it's sometimes hard to navigate and figure out, well, you know, how do we grab a hold of that? And how do we collaborate and work together to do the right thing when people with disabilities for so long have really, not by choice, but by force, have been isolated, because the world is not accessible. The world is not inclusive. And so sometimes it's easier to just isolate instead of go out in the world and have to navigate that next place that's not available, or that next place that's not accessible, or all your friends want to go to whatever restaurant you know you can't go. So you're just like, well, I guess I'm out of this one again.
Yeah. Yeah. That, I mean, that's there's a million things that, you know, you don't even think about.
Well, and then there's the side of, you should pick up a friend with a disability, because there's almost always handicap seats. And you usually get to go in the front of the lines. Yeah. If you want to go to Disney, go with a disabled person, because you got that access pass. All me and my kids did was ride rides all day long. We had no time for anything else at Disney but to ride rides.
That's true. Think of the perks.
That's right.
Don't do it for the right reason. Screw your altruism.
That's what I'm saying.
Do it for the handicap parking.
Eventually you'll make a really good friend.
Yeah.
We're good people. Right. Just like there are many other good people out there. Yeah. See, this is where the joke gets uncomfortable that I was talking about earlier. Charlie's like, is this something I should be laughing at? Is that okay?
Yeah, I don't know.
Or is cancer culture going to get involved with this?
Right,
one?
I know. Are they going to cancel me for laughing at this?
Let's be
know?
Real. There's going to be people with disabilities out there that'll cancel me for some of the comments.
Do you get some of that too?
I've gotten stared at in that space sometimes, especially early going, with like, you're not disabled enough to really know.
Yeah.
And then the interesting thing is, it becomes this absurd argument inside my brain, because I was like, but if I was a bilateral amputee, because you would see my disability, you wouldn't make that comment.
Right.
But I know many bilateral amputees who are more physically functional than I am with my internal prosthetics.
Mm. So
what's your point? It's kind of at the end of the day, you're looking, you know, you're judging the book by the cover, if you will.
Right.
You're not really knowing what's going on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a very interesting thing, man. Yeah. What can you say?
You get into all these things. I mean, people question you all the time, especially me, about your disability. I was going down to Summerfest one year.
Yeah.
And turns out I had a car full of women with me.
Nice.
Yeah. And I'm going to park in the handicap spot. And I show the thing and the police officer asked me, well, who's disabled? Who's handicapped? Right. So challenge right from moment one, which I love. Love these moments. And I was like, well, I am. And it's like this, really? Prove it. So I pulled my pant leg up. I show him my leg. I was like, well, how does that look to you?
Yeah.
And he goes, oh, sorry.
Yeah, what the hell, Kevin?
And then he looks in the car and sees the ladies and says, lucky you. I was like, thanks. Can I go park now? It's constant. It's almost always.
That was State Fair.
Summerfest. Oh, Summerfest. On my way down to Summerfest. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Ah, bummer.
Yeah. No, that was all right. It worked out well for me.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah. Those are the things you don't really think of. So I appreciate you sharing those stories because it's something I don't think about at all, you know?
We all want to look at the person that gets out of the disabled parking spot and often be like, really?
Yeah.
Are you really disabled? Should you really be
come on,
parking
bro.
There? And listen, I'm not going to say I haven't done it from time to time. And then I remember I don't look like that either.
Yeah.
And it's not obvious. And I could walk into a mall and feel in so much pain that I don't even want to walk out of it, you know, by the time. So it's like, I've got to step back and just not judge that individual and meet them where they're at.
Are there any other sort of societal pet peeves that you may have with respect to people with disabilities that maybe folks out there just aren't aware of? One I'll throw out there, using the big stall.
Yeah.
If
it's comfortable, right?
It's not. A lot of room in there.
There's a lot of room. Yep.
And what are the chances That's what someone like me would think.
That's what someone like me often thinks as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't see anybody when I walked in. I'm going to be in and out of here quick.
Oh, I'll be fine. Yeah. I'm not going to sit down and then park on my phone for 20 minutes, reply to 5 emails.
I just want a little extra leg room, a little extra elbow room, get my business done.
Something
and I'm out.
For my suitcase if I'm at the airport, too.
Fair enough. You know? Yeah.
Yeah. So you've been there?
Been there. Oh, yeah.
Have you used it?
I have used it.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Me too.
Many times.
Yeah. You have more of an excuse than I do, though.
I do. So, yeah. I do. But it would require me to drop my pants if somebody asks me.
So
I've been looking for those moments my whole life just to drop my pants, go ahead and show. I probably would have to the officer if I wasn't sitting in a car seat. That tends to go away when you reach your 40s. In my 20s, I was looking for it every day. Yeah. Who can I drop my pants with right now? Just to prove a point. No, but you asked me about a pet peeve. I think a pet peeve for mine is because I grew up like it is thinking that kids can't be disabled. That's a pet peeve of mine. When somebody sees someone young, it's always you don't belong. You're not disabled. Like there's some kind of rule that only adults and the elderly can have a disability.
Really?
Yeah.
Why do you think that's a thought?
Because that's mostly who we see coming out of handicap spots, right? Are the elderly.
Yeah, yeah.
Or again, older people. You know, when I got out and had a handicap thing up as a kid, my mom didn't look disabled.
Oh, right? I see. So maybe.
So it was always
a
battle of, well, you shouldn't be parking there. Then we had to explain what my scenario is.
I got it.
You know, if we were even in the mood to explain it in that moment.
Yeah.
I did that coming into a restaurant. I remember a guy tried to shoo me away. I pull up. Everybody's waiting outside to get inside the restaurant because there's a waiting period. And park, get out of the car. Guy looks at me. He goes, oh, no. And shoos me. Get out of here. You don't belong there. Like literally questioning me. And I was like, excuse me. He's like, you can't park there. It's like, well, pretty sure my handicap plaque says I can park here.
Yeah.
Which is why I did.
Right.
And so then we get in a back and forth about why I can park there. And it was a summer day. So I showed him my legs. And then you've got a guy who's got to stay inside his space and win the battle. Right. Like I'm not giving up on this. I'm not going to apologize. I'm not going to squash my pride in this moment. Yeah. I'm going to own this guy. Right. That was kind of his attitude. And his wife kept pulling at him like, stop it, stop it, stop it. And eventually I realized they just left. She made him leave.
Oh, smart.
So we bumped up on the list a little bit higher and didn't have to wait as long.
It all worked out.
Another bonus to come out to a restaurant with people with disabilities. Let me know when you want to catch dinner.
Yeah. Well, this has been really, really great to hear sort of your tenacity in doing this and getting it going. It's also great to hear sort of your pet peeves.